cold, isn't it? I think age and decay is setting in with me because I never used to feel the cold much, but I feel cold this morning, and I never ever dreamed I'd ever have to say this. But Sandra and I are going to Northern Ireland on Friday to get warm. Can you imagine that? Going back to the place of my birth and where I grew up, in a place called Ballinafay in Belfast in Northern Ireland. Been back a few times before, we're looking forward to going back again. Nice to be here. It's always nice to come down. We know so many people here and you always make us so welcome. And so it's a privilege for us to be here amongst you today. It's always a nice feeling, is it not, when invitations come from those whom we love. From perhaps our good and close friends, invitations such as, would you like to come over for dinner tonight? Or would you like to come and have lunch with us? Or an invitation card, a card to attend a wedding or birthday, which in essence is asking, will you come? Will you come and bless us with your presence? An invitation to come, for example, to the cricket, the rugby, the basketball. I've got a spare ticket or tickets, and so will you come? Will you come and share the occasion with me? Now this morning, as lovely as the aforementioned invitations are, I'd like to share with you an invitation far exceeding any other invitation you could ever possibly imagine. An invitation that comes from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. An invitation found in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30. And I think they're going to appear on the screen right now, and I ask you to say them together with me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, friends, how wonderful and how beautiful are those words from the mouth of Jesus. It's an invitation that surely warms the heart of all persons living in our tired, confused, suffering and burdened world. A world marked largely by indifference and rejection, where many an outstretched hand finds little response and where pleading cries often go unanswered. In the midst of this world, the kind of world that we live in, our Lord's invitation to come to me, and the many benefits that flow from it are words that simply demand our attention. They are words that are worthy of our meditation just for a little while this morning. You'll note that they are words that are plain and simple. Their meaning is unmistakable. For Jesus is saying that anyone who is struggling with problems or difficulties of any kind, anyone who is seeking a lessening of their pain, anyone who is seeking to know what life is really all about, can come to him. Can come to him. Whatever the situation may be it the burden of sin or sorrow, of pain or anxiety, be it loneliness or depression, personal problems or difficulties, or maybe the emptiness and frustration of self-interest to please God and to earn our own salvation, which indeed was the tragic mistake of the Jewish people, which largely continues today. Whatever it may be, Jesus is calling such people. He is calling you and me to come. Come, he says. Come to me. It's a beautiful invitation, isn't it? One that echoes the call of God that's so often expressed in other parts of the Bible, all of which can be summarized by the psalmist, "Cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you." But notice, friends, in our verses this morning, there's a beautiful follow-up to our Lord's invitation, something that may even surpass those hopeful words of the psalmist. For you see, Jesus is not only promising the help and the strength to endure in the periods of our own weariness and burdens, our fears and anxieties. He's also, in his "come to me," offering us a most wonderful thing, a most wonderful blessing. It's the blessing of the strength to endure, the blessing of relief, of burdens and ordeals lifted, of sins forgiven. Friends, how good is that? And we can draw much encouragement from it today and every day. You see, right here in our passage is a great truth about God that we can and should constantly grasp, a truth we must never ever take for granted. For he is the God who never remains at a distance from us. The very one who is high above as the Lord of all and King of kings is also with us. He's with us as a loving Father and gracious Savior. He's the God who came to us in the person of Jesus, revealing himself to the world as the God of deliverance. And in knowing the cares we carry in this life, he comes to lift the weight of them off our aching backs as we give ourselves over to him in an act of submission to his will and purpose for our lives. Friends, what a wonderful Lord we have, haven't we? He's the God who is there. In the words of Francis Schaeffer, the God who is there, there for us. So then let's open our hearts and minds to him this morning. Let us feel his presence. Let us experience his amazing grace. For isn't it simply amazing that we have a living God, and that in and through the Lord Jesus, we can engage with him, we can know him, we can converse with him, and he with us. Indeed, it's only through our Lord Jesus that such is possible, for in the three verses preceding our text today, Jesus claims himself to be the very revelation of God. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, he declares, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Anyone who has seen me," he says, "has seen the Father." In other words, he's saying, if you want to see God's mind, if you want to see his heart and nature, if you want to see what he's like, if you want to see what his attitude towards you is, then look at me. Look at me. For in seeing me, you have seen the Father. You see, in his love and grace, Jesus has opened the door to God the Father for you and for me. Just as he said to his listeners so long ago, he says to us, if you want to know God, if you want to know his blessings, then come. Come to me. Friends, that's an invitation that comes from the very heart, a humble heart, a gentle heart of an understanding Jesus. The fact is, he knows and understands the needs of all humankind. He understands you and me better than we understand ourselves. In his earthly ministry, He saw and experienced the weight and the burdens of everyday life. He saw the stresses and strains of the people of his day. He saw the deaf, the blind, the lame, the leprous, the poor and the oppressed. But what is more, he saw humankind's greatest burden and needs, and that is, he saw their lostness, their lostness. He saw the sin that separated people from God, and that all were helpless in themselves of avoiding sin's ultimate consequences, and all of it moved him deeply. It moved him with the infinite compassion. He saw humankind's, yours and my, need of salvation. And in the midst of the many miracles of healing that brought relief to the lives of so many, he declared that he had come primarily to deal with the underlying cause of all of humankind's problems, whatever they may be. And that was the burden, the awful burden of sin. He came then as God's answer to a universal need. He came as the Savior of the world, the sinner's friend, yours and my only hope of salvation. It's that Jesus, the living, risen Jesus of Calvary, who says in the first place, "Come, come to me." That is, believe in me. With your heart or in your heart and mind, trust in me. Put your hand in my hand. Put your foots in my footsteps. Let me sit upon the throne of your heart. Do all of that and know for yourself my saving grace. Now, isn't that simply wonderful, dear friends? It's absolutely awesome, is it not? Do we ever get excited about these things? You know, Christians these days have lost their joy. Do we not get excited about these things? You know, Sandra is South African, and we've been to South Africa every year of our marriage. You know, the people who really teach us how to be joyful are our black friends. When you go to a service of black people, they really know the joy of the Lord living in their lives. And they manifest it through their voice and through their smile. It's simply awesome. Come to me, says Jesus. Come to me. And doesn't it move us all to express our adoration, express our praise, to thank him so much for all that he's done for us in his come. Come to me. He is, isn't he? Such a wonderful Savior. He's a Savior. He's our Lord. He's our friend. He's our helper. Don't we rejoice in those things? Now, as we continue our meditating on these few verses, notice that our Lord's invitation is accompanied by a simply thrilling promise. Come to me, he invites. And then we have the promise, and I will give you rest. Now, in our Lord saying that, we need to understand that it's rest not in the sense of ceasing from toil, from work. It's not going into permanent retirement. Rather, it is rest in the sense of peace and fulfillment, of inner quietness within our very being, of being put right, of being reconciled to God and reckoned as right before him. How wonderful is that? Of course, that's what our justification is, isn't it? God sees us through the blood of Christ and doesn't make us sinless, but he reckons us, he treats us as we had no sin. How's that? Isn't that something to rejoice about? Friends, as Christians, we surely are aware that in Jesus we have received something that no one else could give. Only in Jesus, and I say again, only in Jesus, no one else, only in Jesus can we discover inner peace, real satisfaction, and a meaningful purpose in life. It's all in Jesus alone. and confessing our need of rescue from sin, in repenting of it to God and surrendering our lives to Christ, we have discovered a great truth, a truth that was stated long, long ago by Saint Augustine. Our hearts are restless, he said, until they rest in thee. Jesus says to us, I will give you rest. It's a rest that does away with fear, anxiety, uncertainty, despair. Now friends, do we not rejoice this morning that such wasn't based on any merit of our own, on any attempt by us to find rest by our own efforts, which of course is absolutely and totally impossible? Happily, it came to us as a gift, a divine gift. Listen to what Jesus says again. He says, I will give you rest. It was a gift that came without a word of condemnation on our Lord's lips. It revealed to us the loving heart of a compassionate and merciful God. Now, of course, that wonderful reality, and it is, but it actually poses a question for us in the context of our times and the days in which we live. And the question is this: why is it that so many Christians are still constantly troubled and ill at ease? Maybe you're here this morning and that is your current experience. Well, friends, I believe we have the answer to that question. We find it in the Word of God, and our conscience, I suggest to you, will confirm it. It applies to all of us here today, including myself. You see, although saved by God's grace, we are still imperfect. We are inconsistent in our resolutions. We are faulty in our obedience. We are weak in our faith. And I'm sure there are times when we wish we could become more pleasing to God, when we wish we could grow into deeper Christian maturity and usefulness and experience more and more of the reality of God's rest in our lives. Isn't that true? It is for me. So what's the secret of obtaining all of that? Well, friends, notice that Jesus' gracious invitation and promise is accompanied by a very eye-opening command. We have it in the second of our verses, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your soul. Or we can say, rest for your very inner being, rest in your inner self. Now, on a close look, on a close examination, that command seems to be perhaps a little bit contradictory in the sense that Jesus is telling us that the rest we already possess in him must nevertheless yet be found. You will find rest, he says. So what does he mean by that? Well, as I understand it, he's saying that the rest he gives must be nurtured. It must be watered. It must be planted deeply in the school of obedience. Do you hear that, dear friends? In the school of obedience. Obedience. For to take his yoke, and we're not talking about a literal one here, as you'll see in a moment, to take his yoke and learn from him means that you and I must be prepared to submit to his guidance and authority in every aspect of our lives. We must let him choose the way for us and follow him in it. You see, we must understand that the rest we receive is received by faith, but we enter more fully into it by a life of obedience, by our submission to his will. In other words, dear friends, we will grow in assurance and comfort when and as we recognize and honor the one who is our Savior as the T-H-E capital, as the Lord, as the King of our lives. Can you say that of yourself today? Is he the Lord, the King of your life? Friends, we've got to be honest with ourselves, for that's not an easy task, is it? It can be difficult at times. We often fail in aspects of our Christian walk. But you know, when we allow ourselves to be influenced by, to learn from our Lord's perfect example and word, it's then that we will know and experience His true rest in our lives, rest of conscience, rest of heart, rest built on the reality of knowing our Lord's forgiveness and pardon from sin, a rest that flows from our experience of having peace with God, of no longer perishing, the Bible says, but having now, present continuous tense, having everlasting life. We live now if we know the Lord is our Savior. We live now in the light of eternity. It's not something yet to come. We live in it now, dear friends. Now. The fact is that when such is in place in our lives, obedience will become our heart's desire, and we'll share in joyful fellowship with God and with others. You see, to the extent that you and I fail to truly live the Christian life, we will be regularly disappointed with ourselves. At least we should be. We should be. But if at times we should become discouraged, well, be encouraged, dear friends. Be encouraged this morning. For there's no need to sink into the depths of despair. For the God who gives us faith will also give us strength. It will be His strength, His sustenance. And so we can be confident in the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "The one who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." That is the day of His glorious return. Yes, it's true, we will have and continue to have our trials to face, our crosses to bear. But if we will only believe it, dear friends, you know, our battle is so often the battle of belief. If we will only believe it, the comforts of the gospel will outweigh all our troubles by far, by far. Friends, the reality is we have a Savior and Lord who actually cares for us. Peter exhorts us to cast all our anxiety, all our cares, whatever's going on in our lives, to cast them all on Him, because He cares for us. He actually cares for us. And He gives us the gift of His grace, grace sufficient to meet our particular needs. Paul reminds us of that in 2 Corinthians 12. He called for God to deliver him from a thorn in the flesh. Then notes that the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, my grace, my power is made perfect in weakness." In that case, Paul's weakness. And dear friends, it can be the same for you and me as we humbly submit ourselves to the will of God in our lives, when we humbly bow to His sovereign plans and purposes. Now, in our passage this morning, finally, the Lord also says that His yoke, and what He means here, that is, He's talking about the yoke of His unsurpassing love, in which is embodied His humility and gentleness, His grace and His mercy. For that is the meaning of the metaphor here. He is talking about His unsurpassing love. And He's saying that that unsurpassing love will not chafe us. It will not rub or irritate our neck or our shoulders. It is easy, He is saying. That is, it fits perfectly, and the burdens and the command is light, as verse 30 indicates to us. Even John tells us His commands are not burdensome. Now let's pause again just here for a moment. For when we actually think about that statement by Jesus and also by John, It seems to us, maybe, it seems to us a rather heavy call upon us. Because we would have to admit, if we're really honest, that such statements might bother us at times. Such statements might perplex us, maybe. We might think they're a little bit over the top. For I'm sure it's true that we have known times in our lives and when the will of God has been extremely painful and difficult, and we've really struggled about some demands that our Lord has placed upon us. As for me, and I think it's been true for you too, as parts of your life. So what does it mean that our Lord's commandments are not a burden to us? What does it mean? Well, in the context of our passage, we need to understand that Jesus is actually contrasting the commands of the scribes and the Pharisees with that of his own. You see, the Pharisees had created and imposed hundreds of minute requirements upon the Jews, which they deemed necessary in order for them to keep the law and therefore win favor with God and therefore their salvation. It was a form of legalism and a very heavy load to bear for the Jewish people. The ordinary Jew was condemned, in a sense, to a form of slavery. It was all law, 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 and there was no love to be found anywhere. Now, friends, that was precisely the point that Jesus was making. For by contrast, his commands were founded on the basis not of law, but of love. Of love. It's to do with his sacrificial love for us, his agape love, his divine love, and our own profession of love for him as our response. A love for him which if it is genuine, will prove itself by a life of obedience. There it is again, by a life of obedience to commands and to his will for us. You see, the reality is, we prove our love to anyone by endeavoring to please them and bring them joy. Is that not true? Can you think back to your days of courting? Isn't that what you were trying to do every day and every night of your life? And so when we speak of our love for Jesus, we're talking about Christian love. And in that context, the truth is that our response to God must also be one of love. A love that reveals itself in obedience. Obedience because of our desire. It must be our desire to please Him and to bring Him joy. Remember this, dear friends. We pass and gloss over these words so often at times. But do you know that the Bible says, what the Bible says is what God is saying to us? Do you know that the Bible says this is love for God? To obey, there it is again, to obey his commands. 1 John 5 and verse 3. In 2 John 6 we read again, this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. It's all to do with obedience, our Christian life. It's all to do with obedience. As already mentioned, our obedience to our Lord's commands are not always easy to achieve. But here's the reality. You see, I think Jesus knows his commands can be tough at times. But know this, dear friends, he will never lay a commandment on you or me without giving us the strength to carry it out. A strength that comes from and comes through his Holy Spirit, whom he has gifted to us and who lives in us. That's wonderful, isn't it? You see, he doesn't leave us to our own deserts, as it were. As I mentioned earlier, he's always the God who is there for you and there for me, there for you and there for me. And in the context of his commandments, which are always given for our own good, he is there. He is there by our side. He's there through his Holy Spirit. He is there helping and enabling you and me to carry out what he desires of us. You see, what we may think is impossible for us, and it is, becomes absolutely and totally possible with Him, with our Lord. The fact is that Christ's love for us is so much, it is so deep, that it turns any burden into no burden at all. Rather, His commandments come not as a burden for us to bear, not as a weight upon our shoulders, but you know, dear friends, His commandments come to us as a privilege, because it gives us a privilege and an opportunity to show our love for Him and for others. That is why Jesus says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's all part of the rest and peace that we have in Him, a peace that Paul says transcends all our human comprehension. Friends, it's that same Jesus who continues today and each day His invitation to come to Him. It's an invitation not just for those who to date never have, but to all of His blood-bought children, to you and me who are here and living in Christ today. He exhorting us to come daily, confessing our sin, surrendering our lives to Him afresh, casting all our burdens, all our problems on Him, seeking His amazing grace, to come loving Him more and seeking an ever-increasing intimacy with Him. You see, He's not wanting more of any intellectual grasp of truth that we may have. Rather, and listen to this, dear friends, if you don't remember anything else today about this message, remember this. Rather, He looks to the level of our disposition toward Him and the measure to which you and I look to Him for our sufficiency. Let me just say that again. He looks to the level of our disposition toward Him and the measure to which you and I look to Him for our sufficiency. You see, dear friends, that is the lesson that you and I must learn over and over and over again. But then, as I finish, just let me say this. Perhaps you are here today and you've not yet come to Him at all. Well, let me say lovingly to you, right now, Jesus is giving you the opportunity to do just that. In His love, He's inviting you to come for His pardon and forgiveness. He wants you to know your sins forgiven, your burdens lifted, your wounds of conscience healed. He wants to give you the greatest gift you'll ever have in this life or any life. It's the gift of new life, the gift of abundant life, the gift of everlasting life. He wants to give you the gift of His rest and His peace. If you are here this morning and you've never responded to His call to come to Me, will you come to Him? Will you come to Him right now and say yes to Him? Listen to these poetic words. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto Me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon My breast." I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. Friends, my prayer is that no one here this morning will leave this place not knowing in your heart and mind the call and response contained in those beautiful words. For the glory of God. Amen. My dear friend, if God is speaking to you today about your salvation, or perhaps if you've wandered away from Him, you're just sort of rumbling along and you want to come back to Him really and truly, then as we sing this next song, say in your heart, yes, Lord, I will come. I will come to you. I'll respond to your call. And if you'll do that, you go and speak to one of your elders or someone you know and can trust here this morning. But I plead with you, I beg with you, if you don't know Christ this morning, please respond to his come. Come to me.